Welcome to our Streams International Ministry Podcast with Prophet Jared Nusulu, PhD, and Prophetess Gabriella Nusulu. Experience prophetic revelation teachings, personal prophecies, healing, deliverance, breakthrough. You are now listening to a teaching recorded at one of our live church services.
You can take your seats. Thank you so much, everyone. I am not used to speak from a stage. I love moving around. But I guess for the sake of the cameras over there, I have to be stuck up here. Now, I want to begin with a vision that I had this morning around 6. I was in a certain building which was jam-packed with people. It was like a conference of some sort, and nothing was happening apart from that we were just waiting. I was aware that I was not really part of the congregation there, but I was there with someone who seemed to belong to that congregation. Then suddenly I saw a man of God come in, and everyone sort of got excited and shouted. I don't know this man of God, but in that encounter, I knew which country he came from. I will not tell the country for now. He came in and proceeded outside through the opposite door, which was on the opposite side of the building. And then suddenly, he just walked back in and came straight to me, who was like in the middle of several rows in the section I was sitting. He pointed at me angrily and he said, "Because of you, people shall deny me." I was stunned and shocked, wondering what he was talking about. I sort of shrugged off my shoulders in shock. He then came to touch me on my head, and nothing happened. It was like his hand was just bouncing off. But I heard in my spirit, "Pray for protection." So I began to pray for my protection. So I began to pray for that protection, and then he moved on sort of praying for people and prophesying to people. And I saw, you know, people kind of getting into some manifestations. Immediately, I came out of that vision and I realized that it wasn't a dream, but I didn't kind of know when you're coming out of a dream, you wake up, but I was fully awake. So it wasn't a dream, it was a vision that I had entered in and came out. Now, as I waited on the Lord to understand what was the meaning of all this, the Lord spoke something very important. He said, "There's never been a more important time for my church to know my word than now. There's never been a more important time for the church to know my word than now." And the reason is so simple. Because in those days when there's a false prophet, a false teacher, they would be there. You have to go there to be cheated. But now they are in our phones. But now they are on the internet. They are coming to us. They are on Facebook. They are coming to us. So you don't have to go. They are coming. They may be in one end of the world, but they are impacting the whole world. Their impact is no longer localized. It's no longer limited. So anybody, anywhere is not safe. The only safety that we have is that in knowing the scriptures. Because as you know, in the scriptures, according to 2 Peter chapter 2 verse number 1, the Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as shall be false teachers." I know the focus is on the false prophets, but the Bible says they shall also be false teachers. So it's not only the false prophets. If someone wears that jacket of a prophet, you say that one, it could be true or false. Even teachers, they shall be false teachers who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So already I've picked up two there. Two what? They are false prophets and false teachers. Number three, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 26, Apostle Paul says, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils and my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. So we're number three. So false prophets, false teachers, false brethren. And then when you turn to the words of Christ himself, I've got more scriptures here, just you can just make reference to. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 23 and 24. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. For some strange reason, people seem, they just seem to focus on one thing. But really, we have seen four things in the scriptures. We are told of false prophets, false teachers, false brethren, and false Christ. When I look at that list, I think the most dangerous one is not the false Christ, is the false brethren, seconded by the false teachers. Then thirdly, we can talk about the false prophets and the false Christ. Because the other ones, we can ignore them, we can see them. But these ones that we talk to every single day, the ones in our neighborhood, the ones that we talk to on the phone, people that we think we associate with on a daily basis, probably are the most dangerous ones than the ones who are up there, that ladder. Now, what is the solution? That's why I now know why God gave me that vision on this day, that morning, that there's never been a better time for his children to know his word than now. You have to know the word of God for yourself. Not just knowing verses, but knowing the word of God. Because every verse is in a chapter. And every chapter is in a book. And every book is in a testament. And that testament is in a dispensation. So as a child of God, you need to graduate from just knowing verses here, knowing verses there. You need to know the chapter. Master the book. Master the dispensation which that book was given. We need to get to understand the scriptures inside out. Because you are the only defense against false teaching, against false teachers, against false brethren. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
So, this morning, I want to look at something very important, which is the purpose for the calling. The purpose for the calling. This thing has troubled my spirit a lot of late because I kind of figured out that we get caught up in the calling, forgetting the purpose for the calling. And we kind of enjoy the calling to be called the called, but really there's a purpose for the calling. And it's something that has been hidden in plain sight. Because we talk about, oh, God has called me to be this. God has called me to be this. God has. But I realized something beyond the calling, that there's a purpose for the calling. And also I realized something very simple, is that all of us are called to the same purpose. Which was kind of confusing for me. That we're all called to the same purpose. Whether you're a prophet, apostle, pastor, teacher, a brother, a sister, we are all called to the same purpose. Now, when I realized that, it gave me chills and challenged me a lot. Because that fact that we're all called to the same purpose, it's a big challenge. Because I am pastoring people that are called to the same purpose with me. So I don't have an advantage over them. I am trying to get there myself too. And in the process, I'm trying to shepherd them to get there too. Big challenge. I wish I was already there. And then I'll say, come. But that's not how God thought of doing it. We are all called to the same purpose. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Are we together so far? If I get too excited, just to do like this. My media team, I know they've got a lot of hard work managing my microphone. And the cameraman, because I zoom everywhere. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. I want you to notice something very important there. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. So the moment you talk about a calling, then we need to understand that the calling was according to his purpose. And that purpose is not our purpose. The Bible says the calling came as a result of his purpose, not our purpose, not what we choose and pick, not a standard that we set, but it is a calling according to his purpose. Now, we use the word purpose and calling a bit more loosely in our everyday life. But when the Lord began to highlight what I'm about to share today, it came with a lot of weight to realize that the reason why God called me was because there is a purpose. To realize that why God called you is because there is a purpose. And here when the Bible is talking about the calling, it's not talking about the offices. It's not talking about the ministerial graces that God is going to give us. This is a general call to every person on earth. It's not a call to only people who are born again. It is a calling to the whole world. Because even people who are not born again, they receive the same call. But they choose not to accept the call. Thank God you responded to the call. Thank God you said, Jesus, here I am. Thank God you accepted the call of God on your life. But what was that purpose? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Ah, no, come on. This is too much. What is the purpose for the call? The purpose is that all of us should be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, the moment you take a step back and begin to understand what the Bible is talking about there, you discover that probably we are a bit far. Probably we've set our standards too low. We are busy competing among each other. We are busy comparing among each other. Oh, I'm better than that one. Oh, I'm better than that one. Oh, I'm better than this one. But when you look at the scripture, the standard that God has called us into, the purpose that God has called us into, is that all of us should conform to the image of his son. To an extent that when Jesus was sitting in one of those chairs here, he would just be one among us. Not the distinct one among us. That we should all be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn, not born as in the biological birth, but the first one to come out of spiritual death. When Jesus came out of spiritual death, he's the first one, and then he caught us out of that death, out of that spiritual death. But we are not called just to be called the called. We are called so that we can conform to the image of Jesus Christ. So when I look at myself as I am today, I know I still have got a lot of work to do. Why? Because I begin to realize and understand that I'm not yet walking in the purpose for which God called me. I was called to conform to the image of His Son. I may be a prophet. I may be a sharp prophet. I may walk in signs and wonders. But that's not the purpose for the calling. The purpose for the calling is for me to be conformed to the image of His Son. That Jesus may be the firstborn among many brethren. Are you hearing me? Shout yes. Because sometimes we get caught up with the graces God has given us. And we think because we are functioning in that grace, we have arrived at a certain destination. But the scripture says we are called so that we should be conformed to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Are you hearing me, somebody? When that revelation dropped in me, it challenged me. Because then it's not just about Gerard or the prophet or the prophet. No. I was not called into that. I've been given that to help God's people to get to a destination. I've been given the office to help God's people. Are you hearing me? Not that I am better than them. God has just entrusted me as a steward. To say, as you walk to the destination, I've got a bunch of people here. Can you walk with them to the destination? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My God. And God did two things without your consultation. Number one, He foreknew you. He didn't consult you. He foreknew you. For whom He did foreknow, He also did what? Predestinate. Two things. So God foreknew you and God predestinated you. And what was the predestination? To be conformed to the image of His Son. I know that many people get caught up on that word predestination. God is, if God can predestinate people, then God predestined me for hell. Thank you. Go enjoy your hell. But nobody was ever predestinated for hell, because the predestination is to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Are you hearing me? That's the predestination. So in other words, God set a destination for all of us. The way you put a destination on your GPS, on your phone, you put a destination. What have you done? You have predestinated yourself. So that word predestination, we have to remove the spookiness out of it. It's not a spooky word. It's not a difficult theological word. You know, theologians getting PhDs and you know this nonsense, just trying to argue over predestination. There's nothing nonsensical than arguing over predestination, because the destination has already been given in the scripture, that we all have to be conformed to the image of His Son, that Jesus may be the firstborn among many brethren. Period. That's the destination. Now, their father, in His wisdom, He foreknew you. And after foreknowing you, He predestinated you. So in other words, when after predestinating you, He now came to the beginning. He now came to the beginning. The beginning now, He called you. At the point of your calling is step number three. At the point of your calling is stage number three. He has already done it too without your consultation. Without asking for your opinion. Because if God had asked you, how far do you think you can go? I think would have set the standard too low. Would have set the standard too low. But God said, let me do something without consulting them. He foreknew you and He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. So irrespective of what you think about yourself, in spite of what people think about you, there's something great that God saw in you. There's a certain decision that God saw that you can make it, and that is to become the image of his son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. Because most of us, we come from a place of beating down upon ourselves. We beat ourselves down. We beat ourselves to death. But today I've got a prophecy for you. It is time for you to rise up, because God has got so much faith in you. God trusts you so much that he knew you can become it. God has got so much trust in you. God has got so much faith in you. Oh boy, I love this. I love this. It doesn't matter how you look like today. It doesn't matter what is your situation today. There's one thing that is true. There is a destination for you that God has set for, and that is for you to be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now listen, can I go one level deeper here? I know you're going, what is he talking about? Okay. Now, what does the Bible say? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Not that he shall justify. He shall glorify. Oh my God. Because God had already set a destination for you. He came to the beginning of the way you started driving from your house after you've already set a destination on your GPS. You don't wait to get to the destination to set your GPS. You set your GPS before you get to the destination. Are you hearing me? And then the rest of the journey is for you now to follow the directions. Are you hearing me? So when the GPS says in the next 200 meters, you are turning left, you need to begin to do things now in order to turn left in the next 200 meters. Are you hearing me? So prophetic voices are the voice of the GPS of the Spirit. Prophetic voices are there to help you to navigate the journey, to navigate the path so that you can get into your destination. Prophetic voices are not the destination. They are the GPS helping you to get to the destination. Are you hearing me, someone? When you hear a prophet talking to you, he's encouraging you that there is a destination. There's something bigger. There's something greater. When you go to the left, he goes, oh, this is the wrong way. Keep going forward. You get somewhere, you get beaten and you want to sit down. A prophet will come and say, no, there's no sitting down. You got to rise up. Oh, but I'm wounded. No, we are going to put bandages on your leg. You have to keep moving forward. You have to keep going. Why? There is a destination. And the destination is for you to be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. And this is the problem that we have in the church today. The church does not know the destination. So when you begin to talk to them to rise up, they go, oh, what are you talking about? When you begin to tell them you are taking the wrong turn, they go, what are you talking about? You can't tell me what to do. Oh boy, what a mistake. What a mistake. What a mistake. What a mistake. I am here to encourage somebody. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. Listen to me. Listen to me. As I was waiting on the Lord, the Lord began to show me things, what goes on in people's lives as we walk on this journey. Because as we walk to the destination, there are some places where you find that the road is blocked. They give you a detour. And many people, they give up on the detour. No, don't give up. It doesn't matter whatever detour the devil may put you on. One thing is certain, there is a destination to which God shall take you, and that is for you to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. As long as you don't give up, you keep going forward, you are making progress. Things may look so tough, things may look so slow, but listen to me, as long as you do not give up, keep moving forward, you are making progress. Are you hearing me, somebody? As long as you don't give up, people may have written you off. But I don't care who is going to write you off. The Father has never written you off. Jesus has never written you off. The Holy Ghost has never written you off. I am here to prophesy to you. As long as the destination is inside of you, you may have taken a detour. Rise up. Get back on the road. Keep moving forward. You are going to make it. Shout yes. Yes. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Moreover, the people he predestinated are the ones he what? He called. And then he what? Justified. It's in the past. You are not going to any justification. You are not going to qualify for justification. Because you are a finished product. 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 Are you hearing me? This is so important for us to understand. Because the devil tried to cheat us. That we are trying to get it. We are a finished product. We just need to work it out. We just need to work it out. Are you hearing me? You just need to work it out. Why? Because the day you became born again, you were born of the Jesus who didn't go to the cross. You were born of the Jesus after the resurrection. Let me say it again. The Jesus you are born from is not the one who went to the cross. You are born from the Jesus who was resurrected. So in other words, you are someone who is born beyond the cross. You are born beyond the grave. You are born beyond the whipping and the beating. Are you hearing me? That's why the Bible says you are more than a. Because Jesus conquered. You are not like him. You are more than the one who conquered. You are beyond the conquering. You are beyond the battle line. You were born beyond the battle line. So the Bible calls you more than a conqueror. Someone who is born beyond the battle lines. Yeah. So when you were born, God put the perfections of Christ inside of you. You are not going to get them. He put them inside of you. You were born it. That's why when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus says, hey, you know, we see all these miracles going on. What's your secret? Jesus says, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is confused. How? Huh? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus says, look at you now. What are you talking about? Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Matthew, another son to thee, must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, but cannot stay where it's coming and where it's going. So is every person that is born of the spirit. Nicodemus goes, ooh. Jesus is so shocked. He says, wait a minute, Nicodemus. Are you a master of Israel? And then you don't understand this stuff. We speak what we do know, but you don't receive our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things. How shall I receive? I speak to you of heavenly things. But the secret, the word born again, it's a very mistranslated word. Born again gives the connotation of second birth, which is the concept, but not the meaning of the word. The Greek word there is genao anoteni, which simply means born from above. Born from above. So in the concept of you becoming born again in your response to the calling of God, you are born from above. Now, because you are born from above, that's why Apostle Paul says, well, set your mind on things which are what? Which are above. Is that making sense now? So it says, set your mind on things which are above, because you are born from above. So in other words, you and Jesus, you carry the same genome. You carry the same genome. But where is the problem? The problem is we haven't mastered yet understanding who we are. And the devil do everything in the book to distract you. Because the moment you begin to know who you are and the revelation of who you are and what God has done for you and what you can become and what you can begin to manifest, then you are going to know that you can't settle for anything less. You can't settle for anything small. I thank God for the level which we are. I thank God for what we're able to do today. But I know there's greater things that the church can do today. The moment they begin to understand who they are, the moment they begin to rise and begin to walk in the faith that God has given them. Why? Because we are predestinated to be conformed to Jesus. It troubled me a lot. To the image, eikon. The Greek word there is eikon. The image there, the Greek word is what? Eikon. I don't have time. Long rabo shatariaso. Those who know me, I preach for 4 hours, so don't just relax. Don't even think about it. I preach for 4 hours. The Greek word is eikon. And the word eikon means the likeness. It means the stature. If Jesus is this high, you are called to be conformed to the height of Christ. So it's not good enough to be short. I mean, so sorry for those who are short. I mean, I mean it compared it to Jesus, okay? Not me, but compared to Jesus. Like, what was he talking about? I mean, compared to the height of Christ. We have to grow to his full stature. Are you hearing me? Likeness or full stature. It also means profile. Profile. So in other words, when you look at your profile, it must match that of Christ Jesus. It must match. Because that's your calling. You are called to that place. You are called into it. Where your profile must match the profile of Jesus Christ. It also means a representation. This is too much. A representation. So your destination, it doesn't matter at what point you are going to die in your life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the destination. It only meant you died before you got to your destination. The way the children of Israel died in the wilderness. Before they got to the destination. It didn't alter the destination. God had already set a destination for them to enter the promised land. But the Bible says many of them, they died in the wilderness because of unbelief. Many of people perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. Listen to me and listen really well. You see, the extent to which you can get to that image, that extent depends on your revelation of the word. Your revelation of the scripture. That's why there's no better time for you to get into the Bible and suck your Bible like a crazy. You have to eat your Bible like a crazy. You need to read your Bible like someone who is going mad. Are you hearing me? Because the secret of you manifesting that Christ in you is hidden in the scripture. Because we call it a scripture because it is a script. You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. There is a gentleman who used to fail and lose contracts in Hollywood. William? What? Mrs. Doubtfire? Robin? Robin Williams. He used to lose contracts because he used to go off script. When they give him a script, this is the script of the movie, you're supposed to memorize and speak it as it is. Him. He used to go off script most of the time, so they would fire him until they made him a master of his own show, no script. Then the guy flourished. But we call the Bible scripture because it's a script. You, as a child of God, who is now called and predestined to conform to the image of Christ. You have no choice. You must master his script. You need to master his script. Because when you speak, we want to hear him talk through you. When you live your life, we want to see you live. We want to see the life of Christ reflected in you. But how can you reflect over Jesus you don't even know? Being born none of him is not enough. You need to begin to know him. You need to begin to master the way he did his things, the way he spoke. You need to master his word. You need to master the way he thought. Are you hearing me? And Achan also means a resemblance. A resemblance. You see, the secret with the world is so simple. If they can see Jesus the way he used to be Jesus in you, I'm sure half of the world would begin to follow him. I'm so sure on that one. I'm so sure there are people there looking for truth. They are looking for truth out there. You see, all those people going to all those places, doing all those stuff, they are looking for something. And if only they could see Jesus represented through us and in us, I am sure most of them, they will begin to ask questions. Who are these people? Who are these people? Why are they different? Why are they full of joy? Why are they full of peace? Why are they masters with their circumstances? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, somebody? There is a destination for each one of us. It's not only for the congregation. It's not only for the prophet. I wish it was only just me taking care of me. Life would have been much easier. Think out of, I would be in the destination much faster. But you are trying to run. Someone is sitting down behind you. Ah, come on. Come on. Come. You are trying to. Someone is kicking you. Ah, don't kick me. I'm just helping you. Please don't kick me. Ah. You are trying to help them. They are busy biting your finger. The same destination, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If it wasn't for this responsibility, probably I'd been a bit further, closer to the destination. Are you with me? Is it happening? Is it happening? Now, when you go to Ephesians chapter 4, from verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse number 1. You see, prophecy, we say the prophecy is given for what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, when you look, carefully at those three words, exhortation, edification, and comfort, you discover that those three things, they are there to achieve only one thing, to keep you going to the destination. There is none of those that is there to pamper you. None. Not even the word comfort. Because when we look at that word comfort, we think it's, you know, pity party, sitting down and crying and mourning and going and carrying on all the nonsense that goes in the church. Okay, let me tone it down. Do you still love me? I just want to be scripture, all right? So let me go to the verse. Okay. But he that prophesies, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto many to edification. Edification. Okay. Edification. One, number two. What is number two? Exhortation. And then number three? Comfort. Okay. The word where people hang a lot is on the comfort thing. Comfort thing. Okay. Now that word is coming from a Greek word that means someone who comes to relate near you as they edge you on. not relate near you to sit down with you. But they are near you to help you, to encourage you, to keep moving forward. They are there to console you. And I love the Greek word. It says encourage. So even in the comfort, there's what? Encouragement. Encourage to what? Because there is a journey that you need to keep going. There is a destination for you to reach, to arrive at. Are you hearing me? So don't just, prophets. No. Edification. Edifying to what? Edifying means to build you up. Into what? There is a purpose. Into the image of Christ. Someone say image of Christ. And what are we talking about? When we say exhortation. Exhortation means imploration. It means consolation. It means entreaty. It means to beseech. That's where now Ephesians chapter 4 verse number 1 comes in. Ephesians 4:1. The Bible says what? Ephesians 4:1. The Bible says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you. That word beseech. That word beseech. Oh my God. My God. Is the word translate imploration? It's paracleto. Paracleto. Paracleo. Paracleo. Paracleo is the way we get the word what? Paracletos. Who is the? Holy Ghost. So Holy Ghost didn't come to comfort us, to make us sit down and enjoy Peter Pates. No, he's there to urge you on. He's there to empower you to the final destination. He's there when you are falling down. He's the backup power to push you forward, to urge you on, to say you can make it, you can keep going forward. It's good. It's happening. Just rise up, take one step forward. It's going to be okay. So Apostle Paul says what? I beseech you that you walk. Can you see now? That you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You see now, what vocation are we talking about? You are called to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'm here to prophesy to you. It doesn't matter how life has looked like. It doesn't matter how tough things got. There is a destination. And that is to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Don't lose focus, because the devil bring the winds. The devil bring the storms, so that you should lose focus and begin to focus on the storms and give up on your faith. Begin to focus on the storms and give up on your walk. Begin to focus on what's going on around you, with everyone around you, and give up on where God has called you to be. Listen to me. It is time to rise up. It is time to rise up. It is time to know the scriptures like never before. It is time to go back into your prayer closet and begin to pray like never before. It is time to go to tell McDonald's, bye-bye, I'm going to go into a time of prayer and fasting. A season of seeking the face of the Lord. A season where I'll be apart and just spend time with my Lord. Why? Because there is a destination. We want that Jesus to which you are born from must manifest in your life. When people look at you, they must see Jesus. You know, I was challenged when I was reading the Bible. Jesus says, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I said, what? It says, when you've seen who? The Father. Period. I said, Lord, you mean this is what we are called into? That we can come to a place when we say, when you have seen me, I've seen the Lord. Is this even a possibility? He said, that's your destination. To be conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many. When I saw the word many, that word many, there was hope in me. Because if it was a few, I think you'd have been that one behind you. Don't look back, because they'll say that you're looking at them. But because it's many, there's hope for each one of us. So this is not something restricted to just a few selected ones here and there. The Bible says God wants each one of us to conform to the image of his son. That Jesus can be what? The firstborn among many brethren. I don't know what's going on in you. I don't know what's going on in your world. But I'm here to challenge you. Let's lift the standard. Let's keep pressing. Let's keep pressing on. Let's keep pushing on. There is a standard. The image of Christ. When you read that passage, Ephesians chapter 4, after it talks about all that, verse number 7 says what? But unto one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the defining of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, katama satariande, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Sometimes I feel I'm not preaching enough. Are you hearing me? When I look at the church, I think we are not preaching enough. We are pampering them too much. I'm telling you, we pamper the church too much. And so, the church is in this mode. You have to handle me like an egg. I am fragile. I can break any time. I've been wounded here, wounded there. So you've got bandages everywhere trying to walk. Come on, can you rise up? Understand there is a destination at stake. You were predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are so worried as prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists that when we preach the true stuff, people run away. People be offended because everyone is at the edge of offense, ready to be offended.